to heaven and all earth. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to purify our hearts, that we may be pure, that we may see you as you are lifted up and exalted in your glory. We ask this in the blessed name of Jesus, the Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You would turn to the book of the Revelation. Chapter 7. And in verse 9, John sees, "Behold, a great multitude, which no man could number from every nation, from all tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. This is the vision of All Saints Sunday. An innumerable, disparate multitude from all different tribes, all different countries, all different languages, gathered before the throne of God and worshiping as one. They are dressed in white, for they have been purified by the blood of Jesus. They're holding palm branches in their hands, which is the biblical sign of victory, particularly victory over hardship and death. And this is the vision for us today. We are the saints who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so, what is the Lord telling us as his saints that we are to do? We are to worship the Lamb, for he is our shepherd. Now, get your mind wrapped around that. The Lamb is the shepherd. Get your mind wrapped around that. I'll get back to that one in a minute. Okay. But that one just kind of jumped up and slapped me across the face. The Lamb is the shepherd? Anyway, okay. As you know, Miranda and I spent a week down in Bethkin Abbey, not this past week, but the week before. And we really believe that was a divine appointment. And we had intended to go in August, but there was a hurricane, and the bishop, he was supposed to be here, but then there's a hurricane, he didn't come. So he rescheduled for the first weekend of October, and there was a hurricane, and he didn't come. So I have cordially invited him never to come back.
We should go see him.
Yeah, I don't even want to do that. There's too many possibilities with that. Anyway, seriously. I did call him and say, stay away. Don't come here. Anyway. But yeah, we really felt like that was a divine appointment. We had to cancel. We couldn't go in September, so we ended up scheduling this for October. And, oh, it was a gift from God. It really was. Besides the showers, it was a gift from God. Okay? But it was a very different experience for me. I mean, every retreat I take at Mepkin Abbey is a little bit different, but this was just a very different experience for me because it usually takes me 2 or 3 days just to get into the retreat, you know, just to get quiet enough that I can hear from God. And on Monday night, I asked God what he wanted me to do with these days that he had given to us. And he said, "I've already told you." Okay. So I began to look through my journal. I went back 18 months and started reading. Okay, what is it that God's been saying? What is he telling me? What am I supposed to be doing? And the one word that jumped out at me was change. Now, you've heard that from me for many, many months now. Jack's giving me the sign of the cross. Now, Change, yes. Every time I wrote about what the Lord was saying in regards to change, every single place in my journal where I wrote about that, I referred to it as the coming storm. God has been talking to us about change now for almost 18 months, and that he says it will be dramatic, and that it would impact the church in a profound way. He also told us that he would put the church in the forefront of service to the community, and he said that there will be changes in the church herself. Okay? So, besides the weather, which is a profound change in and of itself, I don't know how many of you are aware, but Bishop Bates has announced that he's retiring December 24th of this year, and that Bishop Jones is being elevated as the interim primate for the United States. Okay? Bishop Bates is going to continue as the patriarch for the International Church until December 24th of 2025, and there's going to have to be an election or an appointment, as it were, for the patriarch when he steps down as the patriarch. There'll have to be an appointment also for the primate. All this is a lot of change, okay, in the church, in the CDC especially, okay? And then there's something coming up on Tuesday of this week, which bodes a certain amount of change for the nation, I believe. Regardless of who wins, on any level, there's going to be change. And we have to be aware. It's going to happen, okay? There's the potential, as a result of that event, for civil unrest. We need to be aware and watchful, not of the storm, but of the Lord. And as we know, the sale of our property in West Asheville is still there. It got put on hold for some reason over the last couple of weeks. But the sale of Mountain Area Pregnancy Services and our gardens is going to go ahead and go. We'll probably put it on the market in January. And change is going to happen for each one of you and me individually. Change is happening, and we need to be aware it's going on. Okay? And let's face it, the city of Asheville and the region of Western North Carolina has already experienced change and will continue to be changed for many, many months and probably years to come. And it'll never be the same ever again. All of this is what God was saying to me in about 15, 20 minutes on Monday night. And I have never had a drink from a fire hose, but that's what it felt like, okay? Oh, okay. So, whereas I normally would have 2 or 3 days to get kind of ready for what God had to say, it was bam! Okay, now I've got to talk to you. And it was quite a traumatic experience for me. But he did remind me that back in Advent of last year, a year ago, beginning in December, I sent out meditations on Matthew chapter 14. I hope you read it. I hope you took it seriously, but it was all about change and the coming change. Okay, Matthew 14 was about Peter walking on the water. And here's what I said in the introduction to those meditations. The last paragraph of the introduction says, change is inevitable. It is coming. The disciples' world was turned upside down when Jesus appeared in Galilee. And their world changed again with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And changed again with the coming of the Holy Spirit. The world needs to be turned upside down once more. The world needs Christ, though they don't know it. And the world needs the church to be that transforming presence to bring light and truth to our culture and society that has gone off the rails. We don't have the answers, but Christ does. Will we listen? Will we seek to be obedient to his direction? And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will walk on water through the coming storm. That was the introduction to those meditations. I hope you'll go back and read them again, because I read them again over that time at Metkin, and I was like, this is what God is saying. This is the word that the Lord is bringing us about change. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will walk on water through the storm. That thought about keeping your eyes on the Lord, that's not something that was unique to that passage in Matthew chapter 14. It's throughout the scriptures. I was also meditating on the Psalms during this time, and I got to Psalm 91. And in verses 14 through 16, the Lord says, and hear this, this is what the Lord, it's a warfare psalm, okay? Psalm 91 is a warfare psalm. But here at the end of that psalm, he's speaking directly to you, the reader, okay? And he says, because he, that is you, cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, when you call to the Lord, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is a word directly for all of us who are saints of the church. So, don't be deceived, friends. I've heard so many people through this storm. They say, well, is this a sign of the end times? You know, all this turmoil is going on. Is this a sign of all the changes in the weather? Is this a sign of the end times? Every generation has had times of trial and tribulation. Every generation has been through something comparable to what we're going through. But hear this. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. I trust the prophets of the church. And I have not heard a single one that I respect saying anything about end times. He's not going to do this without revealing his will to the prophets, to the church as a whole. This is not the end times. This is the time of change. And this is the time that God has appointed for the saints of the church to stand fast in him, keeping their eyes on the Lord and walking through this storm and bringing others into the light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to be beacons in the midst of the darkness, stability in the midst of the change. We're to be a shield and a hope for those who are going through the storm. That's what all the saints of the church are called to do. Okay, let's look at the rest of that prophecy in the book of the Revelation in chapter 7. If you will, go to verse 14. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know about you, but whenever I get blood on clothing, it doesn't turn white. You're washing your robes in the blood of the Lamb. Okay. It's not talking, obviously, therefore, about outer wear. Okay? It's talking about your spirit. Your spirit being washed in the blood of the Lamb means that you are being purified by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, who is our Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us. We have been purified in the blood of Jesus. Verse 15, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night within his temple. And he, oh, hear this, and he who sits upon the throne will shelter them with his presence. We are in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we are sheltered in his presence. We are encompassed by his all-encompassing power and love and grace and mercy. We are sheltered in his presence. There is absolutely nothing for us to be afraid of. You worried about provision? Verse 16 says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Have any of us gone with want during this time? Have you had food? Have you had water? Have you had shelter? You've had everything you need. God provides for his children. If we are to move forward and provide hope for this community, we must be first and foremost in Christ. The one thing that all of the saints have in common, though they come from every nation and tribe and people and tongue, the one thing all the saints have in common is that the Lamb will be their shepherd. Now here we go again. I mentioned this before. The Lamb will be their shepherd. You see, what happens here is, in verse 17, it says, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How is all that going to happen? It's because the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb, was sacrificed for us. And that Lamb who was sacrificed, he died on the cross, shedding his blood, that we might be made whole in him. And in that, he becomes our shepherd. He's the one who will guide us. He's the one who will take care of us. He's the one who will protect us. Jesus was made incarnate, so he knew suffering in the flesh. He knows what it's like to suffer in ways we will never begin to touch, okay? And he knows our pain, he knows our needs, and he is with us wherever we go. You need not be afraid, because he's already gone there before you. If we follow the shepherd, we will be a sign for this community moving forward. If we look at the storm and the aftermath, well, if we're concentrating on that, then we will become overwhelmed and consumed by that vision and by, as it were, the wolves seeking the lambs. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the good shepherd, we will walk on water. There's nothing that can stand in our way if we are in Christ Jesus. It's not about what we can do in our own power. It's about the Lamb, who is the shepherd. He will guide us. He will provide for us. And he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's the promise of the prophecy. The power that the Lord has is not in earthly strength. It is his love shown through the saints. Hear that. Not to the saints. Through the saints. To others. Okay. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, Micah says, He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Isn't that what we're asking? What does he want us to do? What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I was so touched. I saw an article, I don't remember where exactly online, but I saw an article that 2 days after Hurricane Helene came through here, there were 6 nuns from St. Teresa's Mother, Missionaries of Charity. Okay? They came from as far away as Chicago and Kansas City and Georgia. But anyway, these 6 nuns of the Missionaries of Charity came and they set up camp at St. Margaret Mary in Swannanoa. There were 2 priests who came with them, and one of the priests was being interviewed, and he said he had never seen the Missionaries of Charity actual work before, and it was such an honor to see them go about their work. These 6 nuns just took off and headed into the most hard-hit area in Swannanoa and knocked on every door. They were just going door to door, knocking on every door. What do you need? What can we provide for you? What is it that is your immediate need? And he said, well, what they brought to each home was the sacrament of the smile. I had an interesting opportunity yesterday. Miranda has been assigned to the care center over at the sports park in Candler, okay, where the county has set up a relief station there where you can go and you can get a shower, you can wash your clothes, you can get water, you can get food, you can get a hot meal. It's really cool what they got over there. And it's serving literally hundreds of people every day there. But anyway, I had an opportunity. I went with Miranda on Monday to go look the place over so she would find out exactly where she was supposed to be. And as we were getting ready to leave, I just asked the head honcho there, Joe, I just said, you know, can I volunteer? I mean, would you let me volunteer to help out? He said, we don't need volunteers. Yeah. Volunteers just get in the way. We don't need it. And so I turned and walked, started walking away. He said, wait a minute. Did you say you're going to be here Saturday? And I said, yeah. He said, can you direct traffic? Yeah, I could direct traffic. So yesterday, Miranda had to be there at 12:30, so I went with her, borrowed Sean's vest. It's the, what do you call that? A neon?
I put on
the vest, and they set me out there in the middle of all this, and cars were coming in from every direction, and they all needed to know where to go, and so that was my job. And so for 7 hours, I stood out there, and I talked to every person who came into that place yesterday.
Nice.
I spoke to every one of them. It was a perfect introverted job.
Right.
Because I got to, number one, tell people where to go. And number two, I just had a quick word with every person. I didn't have to enter into a conversation with anyone. But anyway, seriously though, I heard what that priest had said about the Missionaries of Charity and the Sacrament of the Smile, and that's what I tried to do, is just smile. When they rolled their window, just smile. What is it we can do for you today? And just be Christ for them. I didn't have to give any testimony or anything. Just be what Micah says. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And let me tell you, every person who came through just suddenly became much brighter when they realized, oh, I can actually get the help I need. And as they were leaving, most of them made a special effort to stop and say, thank you so much. What did I do? I just told you where to go. I mean, but it makes a difference, people. to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God is a better testimony than anything else we can do. To give them the sacrament of the smile in the midst of the trying times that we are in. We see a lot of long faces, but how about just a few smiles in the midst of those long faces? And how much is that going to be worth? The saints of God showing the light of Christ that is within you to those who are outside. If they see that enough, they're going to want to know what that is and how they can have it too. There's power in those signs. There's power in God's love. So, my friends, we are numbered with the saints. It is time for us to walk humbly with our God and to love kindness, to trust the Lamb who was slain to be our shepherd. And this, I believe, will be the brightest sign that we can bring to this community devastated by so many things going on against her. Keep your eyes on Jesus, my friends, and you will walk on water. Amen.